This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, April 5th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Fallout from the resignation of Richmond Fed President Jeffrey Lacker.
Investors await today's Fed minutes for clues about when its balance sheet may start shrinking.
Is the reflation trade over? That's the call from two of the world's biggest bond market heavyweights.
The UN Security Council is calling an emergency session today on chemical weapons in Syria. Plus, North Korea has test-fired another missile. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A good night for the locals. Yankees got their first win of the season. The Knicks and Nets both won. So did the Islanders and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 5. The DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. CAC in Paris is little change. The FTSE 100 up 0.2%. The Nikkei 225 in Japan was up 0.3% today. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield, 2.35%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.25%. NYMEX crude oil up 1% or 53 cents to $51.57 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1.60 to $12.56.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0672. The yen, 110.81.
Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond President Jeffrey Lacker quit abruptly yesterday over his role in a leak of confidential information. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details now. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Bob. The issue stems from a phone conversation he had in 2012 with an analyst from Medley Global Advisors. Dan Moss is Bloomberg's executive editor for Global Economics.
He is saying he is not the leaker. He was presented with information by the Medley analyst. He is saying he should have ended the conversation then, and the risk is that by not doing that, we somehow infer the information was correct.
In a statement from his lawyers, Lacker said he regretted confirming information that should have remained confidential. Andrew Levin is an economics professor at Dartmouth College and a former special advisor to the Federal Reserve.
This was a very serious breach of information. Very highly valuable, sensitive information was given to an investment analyst on Wall Street who passed it on to clients who may well have made money from it. Is this the end? I would say there's still a lot more to come.
Lacker is not a voting member of the FOMC. Lacker's attorneys say no charges will be brought against the former Richmond Fed president. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, John. At 2 p.m. Wall Street time, the Federal Reserve releases minutes from its March meeting. Bloomberg's Vincent Signorella reports the Fed's balance sheet will be in focus.
When it comes to the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, markets have more questions than answers. When the FOMC does decide to begin shrinking its balance sheet, it may also take a break from interest rate increases. Fed President Dudley said in a March 31st interview on Bloomberg Television, balance sheet normalization is a substitute for short-term rate hikes. Those words caused investors to mark down the path of Fed rate hikes. Markets will be looking closely to see if the minutes back up this sentiment. Vincent Signorella, Bloomberg Daybreak, New York.
Thank you very much. In France last night, presidential candidates sparred in their second televised debate. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Marcus Carlson is covering the race and joins us live from our London bureau with details. Good morning, Marcus.
Good morning, Bob. Yes, this four-hour-long debate was a testy exchange with 11 candidates fighting for the spotlight. National Front leader Marine Le Pen repeatedly lost her cool. Frontrunner Emmanuel Macron accused her of risking war in Europe with her attacks on the European Union. Another candidate also ambushed Le Pen, saying that her plans to leave the single currency area are too soft. Two snap polls suggest that Le Pen was seen as the fourth most convincing candidate last night, with roughly half of Macron's endorsements France. Communist-backed Jean-Luc Mélenchon was dubbed the most convincing, which could fuel his recent rise in opinion polls. This may have been the last time that all 11 candidates face off before the election. Another debate is scheduled on the 20th of April, but several contenders say it's simply too close to the first voting round on the 23rd of April. Marcus Carlson, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Marcus. Let's stay in Europe now, where we're seeing fallout from cuts to bonus pay for banking executives. Here are the details is Bloomberg's Anna Edwards live from London. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, Karen and Bob. Yes, two bonus stories for you this morning. First, Deutsche Bank. The German lender has seen several senior employees leave after it slashed bonuses for a second straight year. Deferred compensation was paid out last month, and since then, at least three executives have left the bank's trading unit in Asia. Europe's largest investment bank in January scrapped bonuses for its top executives and slashed variable pay for other senior employees as the CEO, John Cryan, tries to rebuild capital buffers eroded by misconduct fines. And sticking with bonuses, Credit Suisse investors are being urged to reject what has been called an excessive bonus plan. The proxy advisor Glass Lewis & Co. says the proposal to pay $26 million in short-term bonuses to the executive board of Credit Suisse is wholly inappropriate given shareholder losses over the past 2 years. Anna Edwards, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Anna, thank you very much. Also, some economic data out of Europe this morning with the euro area output accelerating less than forecast in March. A composite purchasing managers index climbed to 56.4 from 56 in February. That is the highest level in almost 6 years, but it comes in below the estimate of 56.7.
Two bond market heavyweights are signaling inflation may have reached its peak. PIMCO is scaling back its outlook for U.S. price growth, saying an increase in job market participation could stall wage gains. Meanwhile, Double Line Capital's Jeffrey Gundlach says inflation this year has passed its peak and that reflation narrative may be fading. Both firms made correct calls last year concerning consumer price gains.
Panera Bread is said to be in advanced talks to be acquired by JAB Holding. That's according to people with knowledge of the matter who say a deal could be announced as soon as this week. Still, an agreement has not yet been finalized. Panera shares up 10% in early trading this morning, valuing the company at around $7 billion. S&P futures down a single point. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street now. Yet another missile launch from North Korea. The latest on that and more from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. North Korea has fired another ballistic missile into the Sea of Japan this morning. Bloomberg's Russell Ward has the latest from our Tokyo bureau.
It's the fourth missile tested by North Korea this year and comes just a day before Donald Trump hosts Chinese President Xi Jinping for the first time in Florida. Trump is expected to press Xi to do more to counter the threat from Kim Jong-un's regime. Japan and South Korea condemned this morning's launch, but it drew a muted response from Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who said the U.S. has spoken enough about North Korea. Tillerson said last month that all options are on the table for dealing with the regime. Russell Ward, Bloomberg Daybreak, Europe, Tokyo.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he is confident he has the votes to change the rules to confirm Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch.
That should be wrapped up sometime Friday.
The so-called nuclear option would allow Republicans in the Senate to confirm Gorsuch from a 60-vote threshold to a simple majority vote. Democrats complain that such a move would bust the Senate itself as both parties trade accusations ahead of the showdown later this week. The UN Security Council is calling for an emergency meeting today as the death toll has climbed to 72 in a suspected chemical attack on a northern Syrian town. Activists say it's one of the worst chemical attacks in the country's civil war. The White House is condemning yesterday's chemical attack. However, White House spokesman Sean Spicer said then-President Obama is directly responsible.
These heinous actions by the Bashar al-Assad regime are a consequence of the past administration's weakness and irresolution.
British Prime Minister Theresa May is in Saudi Arabia on her last leg of a Middle East tour that sought to strengthen ties in the face of Brexit. Bloomberg's Alex Morales has more from Riyadh.
The Premier and London Stock Exchange CEO Xavier Rolle met with Saudi finance chiefs at the Stock Exchange in Riyadh on Tuesday. On Wednesday, May is due to meet with King Salman. She's expected to pledge to help the kingdom reform its Ministry of Defence and reduce its economic dependence on oil. Trade and Foreign Affairs ministers for both nations will hold meetings every 6 months. Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak, Riyadh.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Much obliged, sir. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. And with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. As bad as Masahiro Tanaka's start was on Sunday, that's how good CC Sabathia was for five innings last night at Tampa Bay. Then came a procession of five Yankee relievers to hurl the last four innings. Yanks shut out the Rays 5-0 for their first win of the young season. Home runs from the left side of the infield, Ronald Torres and Chase Headley. Michael Pineda starts tonight. Mets host the Braves. They'll face their old friend Bartolo Colon, who next month turns 44. Rare win for the Knicks. They ended Chicago's four-game winning streak. They hurt the Bulls' hopes of making the playoffs. Carmelo Anthony scored 23. Knicks won 100-91. Another victory for the suddenly red-hot Nets. 141-118 at Philadelphia. Brooklyn tied a franchise record with 81 first-half points. They've won three straight, six of the last nine. It was a must-win for the Islanders. They still need a lot of help to make the playoffs. They won 2-1 at Nashville on a Thomas Hickey goal in overtime. Devils and Flyers scoreless until a minute into OT when John Moore scored, giving New Jersey a 1-0 win. Tony Romo has done to Phil Sims what Dak Prescott did to Romo, pushed him out of a good gig. Romo got hurt last summer. Prescott emerged as the Cowboys quarterback for who knows how long. Romo could have played elsewhere. He was favoring the Houston Texans, but he decided to retire and replace Sims as CBS's top analyst.
It came to the decision of working with an incredible team. I felt a real connection with the CBS group, and I just felt at this time that the opportunity to work with them is just, it's really a gift and a privilege, and the more I just thought about it and, you know, prayed about it, it just started to feel right.
When asked if this retirement is permanent, Romo said it was 99%, but you never say never. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
Thank you, John. In other sports news, Amazon is stepping into NFL broadcasting. The e-commerce giant has won the rights to broadcast 10 Thursday night NFL games live online this season as part of its video subscription service. According to a person familiar with the matter, Amazon paid $50 million for the one-year deal. Twitter had a similar agreement with the NFL last year and loses that deal to Amazon this time around. S&P futures currently unchanged. This is Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby. Since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update is brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker dealer RIA that's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit Commonwealth.com to learn more. Today we are watching for economic data, including a look at private payrolls from the ADP Research Institute. Forecasts call for a gain of 190,000 private jobs in March. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has the details.
Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence see a reversal after February's milder than usual weather boosted the ADP report by the most since April 2014. Economists also anticipate slower growth in the government's official employment statistics set for release on Friday. Even so, America's labor market is making a strong run. Unemployment has been below 5% since May. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. The ADP report out at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 10, it's a look at the service sector from the Institute for Supply Management. Then at 2, the Federal Reserve releases the minutes from its March meeting. Global stocks, meanwhile, are rising as Chinese shares soared the most since August, while other markets are little changed ahead of a meeting between Donald Trump and China's Xi Jinping. Oil extending gains to the highest level in almost a month. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury little change, yield 2.36%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 61 cents to $51.65 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.60 to $12.55.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0667. The yen, 110. 2.88. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The UN Security Council is calling an emergency session on chemical weapons in Syria. It comes as the death toll has climbed to 72 in the northern Syrian town. And activists say that the attack was one of the worst in the country's civil war. North Korea has test-fired another missile. South Korea and Japan have condemned the test. The Trump administration is expressing alarm that Chinese investors may try to purchase Westinghouse Electric's nuclear business. According to people familiar with the matter, they're instead trying to find an American or allied buyer for the company. Parent company Toshiba is seeking a buyer for Westinghouse after it filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection last month. In sports and baseball, the Yankees shut out the Rays 5-0. The A's and the Giants also won. In the NBA, the Knicks, the Nets, the Wizards, and the Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders, the Devils, the Bruins, the Capitals, and the Sharks were all in the W column. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. We've had input from numerous Fed leaders, but today we get to be the fly on the wall at the Federal Open Market Committee's last meeting, March 14th and 15th. That was the gathering, of course, at which officials raised their benchmark interest rate by a quarter point. The minutes from that meeting due out at 2 p.m. this afternoon, and you can count on course, of course, on full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. But let's preview what we might glean from this with help from BNP Paribas, senior U.S. economist Laura Rosner, joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line now. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. Laura Rosner, good morning. What might you be looking for out of these minutes today?
Hi, good morning. So I think this set of minutes could actually be very significant. One common theme in Fed communication has been about the balance sheet and possible plans for balance sheet normalization. We know that it was discussed at the meeting. Chair Yellen mentioned this in her press conference prepared remarks. So I would expect to learn more about the committee's thinking about balance sheet normalization plans, what the different views are among participants, and given their, you know, recent communication of different officials, I would expect, you know, many participants to think it would be appropriate to begin the process towards the end of the year or maybe early next year. So this could be significant guidance that we are approaching the start of balance sheet normalization.
What's your take? Is it time to tackle the balance sheet? Past time? What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree. I think the with Fed officials in that, you know, Fed funds hikes and balance sheet changes, policy changes are substitutes. So both amount to tightening. They have different implications for different parts of the yield curve potentially. But, you know, I think it makes sense to maybe start unwinding a little bit this kind of balance sheet impact if you are moving towards a tightening policy stance.
We get private payrolls from ADP today. What are you expecting the jobs numbers to look like this week? And in particular, what is the Fed going to be watching for?
Well, we're actually looking for a little bit of a lower number on Friday. And today we expect 160,000 payrolls to be added to the economy. That's lower than the last 2 months. We think that the construction sector could pull back a little bit, mainly because it was boosted by warm weather. We also think that the winter storm Stella, which disrupted a lot of activity on the East Coast, that could have a mild negative impact. But again, 160, you know, that's still plenty of jobs, enough certainly to keep the unemployment rate stable. And we actually expect it to tick down a little bit. So still a sign of a very healthy job market despite some disruptions. And I think that that's how the market and the Fed would probably interpret such a number.
And given the indicators that you're seeing so far, have you settled on how many interest rate hikes we're going to see this year?
Well, we think we're looking for two more this year. So we do think a June hike is certainly on the table. We expect one in September as well. And then we think that the balance sheet will become the focus with an announcement of plans to normalize and reduce the balance sheet coming in December.
And very quickly, just a few seconds left, where does that put Treasuries, let's say, around September?
Well, higher. We don't think any of that is really factored into the price. So we do think risk premia are on the rise.
Our thanks to senior U.S. economist Laura Rosner at BNP Paribas joining us on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide, fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures virtually unchanged at this hour. Dow futures are up 15 points. NASDAQ futures virtually unchanged. 10-year Treasury prices are unchanged. The yield at 2.3623%, and you're listening to Daybreak. Brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cash Flow Real Estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Richmond Fed President Jeffrey Lacker stepped down yesterday after announcing his role in the unauthorized disclosure of Fed policy information in 2012. In a statement, Lacker said he crossed the line by confirming confidential information. But questions remain, as it's not clear Lacker was the actual source of the leak. The Fed's inspector general is ending its investigation. No charges will be brought against Slacker.
Proxy advisor Glass Lewis and Company is urging shareholders to reject Credit Suisse's proposed $20 billion executive compensation package. Glass Lewis says the amount is wholly inappropriate given the bank's stock lost 33% of its value in 2016.
Deutsche Bank, which slashed bonuses for a second straight year, saw several senior employees leave after paying out deferred compensation last month. At least three executives departed from the lender's trading unit in Asia, and one executive took a new job in the bank's hometown of Frankfurt.
In Asia, stocks finished the day mostly higher as investors await President Donald Trump's meeting with Chinese leader Xi Jinping tomorrow. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Chinese stocks led the gains in Asia as trading resumed after a long weekend. The CSI 300 hit a 2017 high as building stocks rallied. This on news the government is planning a new economic zone linking Beijing, Tianjin and the Hebei province. Hong Kong stocks, though, didn't fare quite as well, financials dragging on the overall Hang Seng index. Japanese stocks fluctuating before managing to close higher. The topics flat and the Nikkei 225 up a third of 1% on the close in Tokyo to 18,861 points. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Hanhai Precision Industry, also known as Foxconn, was up more than 7% in Taiwan today after record holiday iPhone sales and strict cost discipline helped Apple's main manufacturing partner report a surprise increase in quarterly profits. It's the company's biggest single-day gain in 22 years. Earlier this week, another Apple supplier, Imagination Technologies, plunged as much as 72% after Apple said it would phase out the company's graphics technology. Futures this morning, they're little change. The DAX in Germany's down a quarter percent. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.36%. NYMEX crude oil is jumping up 1.2% or 60 cents to $51.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3% or $4 to $12.54.40 an ounce. The euro's at $1.0666 and the yen at 110.95. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. North Korea does it yet again, raising tensions again. That and more from Bloomberg's Michael Barnow. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. North Korea conducted another ballistic missile test. The missile was fired into the East Sea early today. According to South Korea's Joint Chiefs of Staff, the projectile flew about 37 miles. South Korea's foreign ministry said it strongly condemns the launch.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called the launch a major provocation. The test comes on the eve of the first meeting between Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Donald Trump. Oregon Democrat Jeff Merkley has been talking on the Senate floor in opposition to Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch for several hours and plans to remain as long as I am able. Merkley extended his speech, but it's not a filibuster, and it won't delay debate or votes, but it's part of the Democrats' effort to bring attention to the nomination. Merkley slammed Republicans for planning to exercise the so-called nuclear option, to change Senate rules in order to get around the Democrats' filibuster of the nomination.
Changing a rule, a basic function of the Senate designed to protect the integrity of the Supreme Court, and undermining it and damaging the integrity, that's like blowing up the institution. That's why it's nuclear.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky.
Either way, we'll be moving toward confirming Judge Gorsuch on Friday.
Australia's Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, says his government condemns in the strongest possible terms the chemical weapons attack against civilians, including children, on a rebel-held town in northern Syria. He said in a statement today that the use of chemical weapons is illegal and abhorrent. It was a tough night for Marine Le Pen during France's election debate. The other 10 candidates landed numerous attacks on the populist leader. Bloomberg's Greg Viscusi has more from our Paris bureau.
A high school teacher, a car factory worker, and a retired civil servant repeatedly attacked François Fillon and Marine Le Pen, often putting them on the defensive. Le Pen was probably the night's big loser, being called out for either being too extreme or too vague, and she often lost her cool. Emmanuel Macron escaped mostly unscathed, with his position as front-runner probably comforted. Gregory Viscusi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, sir. 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update now. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. How bad was Chase Headley's start to last season? The Yankee third baseman batted 150 in April, and it wasn't until May that he got his first extra base hit. Two games into 2017, Headley is hitting .625. Three hits in the opener, a home run, an RBI single last night. Yanks shut out Tampa Bay 5-0 for their first win of the year. Ronald Torres also homered. CC Sabathia and five relievers combined on a five-hit shutout. As the Yankees won, so did the Knicks, Nets, Islanders, and Devils. All four teams are not going to the playoffs, and yet the Knicks spoiled Chicago's playoff hopes, beating the Bulls at the Garden 100-91. They did it without Kristaps Porzingis and Derrick Rose, who's done for the year. Nets won at Philadelphia 141-118. They shot 64% from the field. Brooklyn tied a franchise record with 81 first-half points. Nets had a stretch this season when they lost 27 out of 28. They've now won six of their last nine. Islanders are technically not out of the playoffs yet, but their chances are very slim. They did win 2-1 in overtime at Nashville, just as the Devils won 1-0 in OT over Philadelphia. Tony Romo insists his retirement from football to broadcast for CBS is permanent.
I just don't envision that really being something that I'm going to have to think long and hard about. It's one of those things you do. You never say never. I tell you it's about 99%. And if there's some crazy reason Sean decided to fire me in week 12, I guess I'd have to think about playing in a small golf tournament or maybe in a flag football game or something.
Romo, who lost his starting quarterback job in Dallas to Dak Prescott, says if he did continue playing, it would have been with the Houston Texans. At CBS, he immediately becomes the top analyst, pushing out Phil Sims. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you very much. 5:37 on Wall Street now. That's time for your Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Well, Bob, Boeing and Long Island City-based JetBlue Airways are investing in a startup developing an electric-powered aircraft with the potential to transform short-haul flights. Zunum Aero is designing and building 10 to 50-seat planes for trips of 700 miles initially and up to 1,000 miles by the year 2030. Zunum expects to complete its first plane by 2020. Commodities trader Glencore will move its main U.S. hub from Stamford, Connecticut to Midtown Manhattan. People familiar with the matter say the relocation will take place this year. It impacts crude oil, refined products, coal, and metal traders. Glencore began in Manhattan in the 1970s as Rich & Company. York Capital alumnus Michael Weinberger plans to start trading his new hedge fund, Serrano Capital, in the third quarter. People familiar with the matter say it'll have as much as $750 million. It will be an opportunistic long short fund with an event-driven strategy. They said could also pursue credit and distressed investing as well. That's the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Thank you, Ed. China National Chemical has won U.S. antitrust approval for its $43 billion takeover of Syngenta. The Federal Trade Commission says the companies will be required to divest three types of pesticides in the U.S. as a condition for the approval. Antitrust authorities in China are also reviewing that deal. Meantime, an agrochemical company here in the U.S. is set to report quarterly results this morning. Monsanto is one of three S&P 500 companies on today's earnings schedule, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Monsanto was likely pressured by declining corn seed prices in North America and a weaker pricing environment for the herbicide glyphosate. Bloomberg Intelligence says those pressures may have been offset by higher seed volume in Latin America, the U.S. launch of Roundup Ready to Extend soybeans, and further growth for Intacta soybeans in Brazil. Forecasters think Monsanto will post an adjusted profit of $2.79 a share on revenue of nearly $4.75 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Appreciate it, Jeff. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Courtney Dunhoe on WHAS in Louisville. Krispy Kreme owner J.A.B. Holding is said to be in advanced talks to buy Panera Bread.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm reporting on Gillette cutting razor prices, trying to stop the bleeding of falling sales.
I'm August Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following the fastest rise in food prices in 3 years as UK retailers pass on the cost of the weak pound, according to the British Retail Consortium.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Boeing and JetBlue are investing in a startup that's developing an electric-powered airplane.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the Trump administration wants to gut federal funding for EPA emission testing.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. U.S. stock index futures are little changed this morning. The 10-year yield at 2.3623. West Texas Intermediate crude is up 1.2% to $51.65 a barrel. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart and efficient choice to manage your philanthropy. Visit jcfny.org.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Oil extending gains to the highest level in almost a month, with investor focus shifting back to U.S. crude inventories after supply disruptions and optimism over OPEC's output curbs drove a rally over the past week. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 1.2%, up 62 cents. It's at $51.65 a barrel. Futures this morning, they're a little changed, and we do check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down just half a point. Dow futures up 11. NASDAQ futures down 3. DAX in Germany is down 0.3%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 2.36%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.25%. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, or $3.70 at $12.54.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0664. The yen at 110.90. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Syrian monitoring group says the death toll from a chemical attack the previous day has now increased to 72, as activists reported renewed airstrikes on the town hit by the harrowing assault. The civil defense team says the new airstrikes hit near where the suspected chemical attack occurred in the northern town of Khan Sheikhoun. Meanwhile, the UN Security Council will hold an emergency meeting today in Syria. Republicans with the House Freedom Caucus and Vice President Mike Pence held a late-night meeting yesterday as they try to reach a new deal on replacing the Affordable Care Act. The leader of the Freedom Caucus called the meeting productive. No word if a deal will be reached before Congress leaves for recess on Friday. In sports and baseball, the Yankees shut out the Rays 5-0. The A's and the Giants also won. In the NBA, the Knicks, the Nets, the Wizards, and the Warriors were all winners. In the NHL, the Islanders, the Devils, the Bruins, the Capitals, and the Sharks all in the W column. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning, Jennifer. Let's talk about the South Africa downgrade. And Gadfly tells us it's just a sideshow for BRICS buyers.
Yes, that's exactly right. So when we're talking about BRICS, what we mean are a group of countries, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And this group was put together as one by Jim O'Neill, formerly of Goldman Sachs, in 2001. And his point was that these countries are sort of underrepresented worldwide in investors' mind, given their likely contribution to global gross domestic product. But the point with the South Africa downgrade now is it brings to a total of 3 out of 5 the number of the BRICS nations that are now rated junk by S&P.
The Chem-China-Syngenta deal, could that be the last of the big love-ins?
It could be, but it's, there's some regulatory issues in China that are making the outlook for these big deals a little bit more murky. You know, at $43 billion, that's, nothing to sneeze at. It's certainly going to be the biggest overseas purchase by a Chinese firm. And it looks like from a regulatory perspective, there's not a lot that's going to stand in the way. But the problem is these efforts that China's undertaken to stem capital outflows after it devalued the yuan in 2015 are providing a pretty big roadblock. You know, there's talk that perhaps deals of more than $10 billion might get barred. There's an idea that, if you're looking at real estate and you're a state investor, that might not work out so well for you. And the deals that have been falling on the scrap heap have been piling up. So on top of that, the nation's foreign exchange reserves shrank by about a quarter since they peaked in 2014. And so that floodgate of money isn't likely to hit the market anytime soon because the Chinese government might be very wary of putting all that pent-up pressure, releasing it overnight.
Something of a political backlash in China then, huh?
Yeah, it looks like it. And, for the economy that racked up $248 billion of overseas deals last year, that might well have been the peak.
Our thanks to Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing G-A-D-F Go on the Bloomberg.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host Greg Storr discusses the Trump administration's new guidelines for the H-1B visa program. He speaks with Bloomberg Intelligence governance analyst Caitlin Weber and Howard University professor Ron Hira.
Caitlin, give us just a quick overview of this program. Who is being brought in under the program and who is bringing them in?
So the H-1B highly skilled visa program is really the U.S.'s flagship program for specialized workers. It's capped pretty strictly at 85,000 per year. About half of those positions go to computer-related positions, computer programmers, systems analysts, engineers. I think when most Americans think about this visa program, they probably first associate it with companies like Google, Apple, but in reality, it's these companies that are much less familiar to Americans, like Wipro and Tata Consulting Services, that are taking up the bulk of these visas, at least for the last 5 years or so. And what's even more controversial is that for those India companies, most of their employees in the U.S. are on these visas. And the type of work that they're doing is they're going into banks and other large firms and essentially outsourcing IT departments to the H-1B workers. And so that's really where a lot of the controversy has focused in recent years.
Ron, do you agree with those criticisms of the program? Does it seem to you that it's gotten off track and been too heavily tilted towards those outsourcing programs or outsourcing companies?
Well, I think it has gotten off track. I mean, the intent of the program is a good one. The intent of the program is to bring in a guest worker, an H-1B worker, when you can't find an American, and then to also bring in highly specialized workers. And so those are kind of two key elements here. First, the highly specialized. In reality, the way it's used, you don't really have to be all that specialized to qualify and be eligible for an H-1B. Essentially, what you need is a bachelor's degree, and there's lots of people with bachelor's degrees, so the hurdle isn't very high. The threshold and criteria is not very high. And then secondly, there's no requirement to actually look for American workers first. And then the third element here is that firms can legally pay way below market wages for these workers, and so there's a huge profit incentive, and it's extraordinarily profitable to bring in an H-1B worker to substitute for a U.S. worker or even to replace a U.S. worker.
And as Howard University Professor Ron Hira and Bloomberg Intelligence Government Analyst Caitlin Weber speaking with the Bloomberg Law host Greg Stuhr, you can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, a federal judge has blocked a Seattle law that would have allowed Uber and Lyft drivers to unionize. The city's ordinance was the first of its type in the U.S., The Chamber of Commerce had filed suit, arguing that the law improperly treats independent contractors as employees. Uber and Lyft are members of the chamber. The law will now be blocked while the case is decided.
Twitter and Yelp are among the social media outlets agreeing to pay more than $5 million in a class action privacy case. The California lawsuit accused the companies of harvesting contact information from users of Apple mobile devices. The settlement does not resolve claims against Apple that it made misleading statements to consumers.
In Oklahoma, a federal judge has dismissed a Sierra Club lawsuit that blamed fracking for a swarm of earthquakes. The judge ruled state regulators are in a better position to deal with fracking-related earthquakes in Oklahoma than the federal court, saying a state agency that regulates oil and gas drilling has responded energetically to increased seismic activity. New Dominion and units of Devon Energy and Chesapeake Energy had been named in that lawsuit.
Headline here, crossing the Bloomberg, ChemChina has won EU antitrust approval to acquire Syngenta. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg, and ChemChina will sell a significant part of the Adema pesticides unit as a result. And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. Futures this morning, they are little changed. S&P futures are down a point. Dow futures up 10. NASDAQ futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is down 0.25%. CAC in Paris is up 0.2%, and so is the FTSE 100. The Nikkei 225 in Japan up 0.3%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.6%. 10-year Treasury, little change. The yield 2.36%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.25%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% or 68 cents. It's at $51.71 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $4.40 to 12.54 announced. The euro, $1.0665, the yen, 110.90. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here's Steve Potisk.
Republican strategists tell the White House to quickly cut deals with both parties to finalize long-overdue spending bills and avoid a government shutdown on the 100-day mark of President Trump's term. Vice President Pence is leading efforts for a deal between moderate and conservative House Republicans to get a vote on an Obamacare repeal bill before Congress breaks for Easter. And if funding is not renewed by September for the Children's Health Insurance Program, federal dollars will dry up. The program covers around 8 million kids.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.